today as we come to the table.
It gives a picture in Scripture of almost a tug of war. The way the Holy Spirit draws us, that word gives a picture of fighting, a tug of war, one's pulling one way, one's pulling the other, and the Lord's winning, and there's tracks in the dirt as he's pulling us toward him. I can remember, you know, when I first started being drawn into the things of God, I started going to church, and I didn't even want to be there. I got upset with the pastor. I disagreed with him. You think you've got the answers. How do you think you have the truth? And I would go to church each week, and in my heart, kind of, what's going on here? Why was I doing that when I didn't like it? Maybe you're in that way this morning. You're here, and you're like, oh, I don't know what I think about all this. I don't know. You're here because the Lord drew you here by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's wanting you to make a choice for the kingdom of God.
Remember playing tug of war in elementary school? Both sides would wait for the whistle and then pull with all their might. In today's message, Pastor Mark describes what it's like when the Holy Spirit draws people closer to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not give up, and Jesus is ready to catch you. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Are you resisting? Are you digging in your heels? Do you feel a tug in one direction and then pull with all your might the other way? The Holy Spirit is urging you to draw closer to Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be a battle of wills. It's a sweet surrender. He loves you and wants to welcome you to heaven. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 22 as he continues his message, The River and the Tree of Life.
As we get further on the book of Revelation, did you know that the book of Revelation is a gift to the church? And yet how many pastors today and how many churches today say, we're not going to open that gift. We're not going to go there because no one can understand it. Guys, revelation has been a gift. The word revelation means to reveal. It is a gift of God. It is a book that specifically comes with a promise of blessing if we will study it. God has given it to us as a gift. Pastors need to be teaching it. And the church needs to be sharing it. And for those who would say, well, it's too hard to understand, it's very easy to understand, as you've seen these last 22 weeks. It wasn't hard at all for the early church, and it shouldn't be hard for us. We just don't know our Old Testaments very well. Remember, John wrote it in such a way, using imagery from the Old Testament, because he knew he couldn't get a letter through the Roman soldiers that was to the church. They hated the church. So they said, yeah, this crazy old man's wrote some story about all these images and visions. But everybody, the Old Testament is all the early church had, by the way. If somebody tells you, well, we don't really need the Old Testament, tell that to the early church. What'd you do at Bible study? Well, we don't really have anything today, so let's sing a song and God bless you. All they had was the Old Testament. That was it. The New Testament came 100 years, almost 100 years later, maybe 50 to 80 years later. But the bottom line is that they knew their Old Testament. They knew the imagery. They knew what the dragon was. They knew what all these pictures were. All they had to do was take from the Old Testament, plug it in the New, and they knew exactly what John was saying to them literally. The only way that Revelation can be interpreted accurately is literally with the proper symbols plugged in. Why? Because otherwise it becomes this crazy thing that anybody can make mean what they want it to mean. And sadly, it scares a lot of pastors away. It scares a lot of the church away. But the reality is, Revelation is a gift from God. And in a moment, we're going to see he commands us to be in the book of Revelation. He said, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw and heard. It means basically I lived it, I experienced it. What I'm telling you is real. I was there. I know it was. Take my word for it. I saw and heard these things. And again, this is interesting here, the whole idea of him seeing and hearing these things. He says, I saw the tree of life. I saw the river of life, the water of life, if you will. And I'm telling you about them. You know, John was the disciple that God showed this in multiple ways. What do I mean by that? John specifically, why did God choose John to write the book of Revelation? John was the one that last night, right before Jesus went to the cross, that as Jesus lay on his left side, as they all would do at this kind of U-shaped table. They would lay on the left side, prop all the pillows up so everybody was comfortable, and they would eat with their right hand. The Bible says John was the one that was right in front of the Lord leaning against him. How do we know that? Because John leaned back and said, Lord, who is it? When the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me, it says that John leaned back and said, Lord, who is it? He said, it's the one that I dip with and give the bread. Which means John leaned back and put his head back on the Lord's right side, back looking back at the Lord up there on his near his ribs. Lord, who is it? And just, again, that warmth of the Lord as he asked the question. Then the next day, what happens? We see John again now at the cross. John's the only one that came to the cross. And John watches them hang Jesus on the tree of life, if you will. Not the one in the kingdom, but the one that leads to that kingdom. And then he watches them pierce the Lord with a spear in his side, and blood and water flow out and clings to the side of the Lord, even as John had been clinging to the side of the Lord the night before. I don't know how much John understood or how much John took in, but what a powerful imagery as he saw this river of life coming out of the Lord and seeing the bride being born. And now John's in heaven. Third time he gets to see this type of closeness to the Lord's right side, if you will. And he sees the real tree of life. And then he sees the water flowing from the right side of the Lord. And you wonder what John's thinking. You wonder how much John is putting together in the midst of all this. And no doubt it's overwhelming for John. We're going to see that it's overwhelming for John. Because notice what happens here. It says, when I saw and I heard these things, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Again, John knew he wasn't supposed to worship angels. The angel knew he wasn't supposed to worship angels. So what is John was doing? Have mercy on John. John is still in his earthly body having a vision of heaven. You see, in heaven, you're not going to have the temptation to bow down to an angel or something wrong. You have a new body. You have a new mind. You're going to know, you're going to have the capacity to handle the glory. But none of us knows what it's like to handle glory until glory is presented to us. When someone is given a large amount of money or a large amount of fame, look at their life. What happens to them? Can they handle the glory? Well, Mark, I don't give into that. I don't bow down to anyone. You ever had a famous football star or a famous, you know, maybe movie star or somebody else that you really idolized or you look to? Basically, we're seeing the glory that's on them and bowing down to it. We're creatures that do that by nature. We see that glory and we respond to the glory. John is still in this earthly body simply responding to this glory. Not that it's right. I'm not taking up for John, but understand we do the same thing now at different levels and in different ways. And the angel knew that John didn't mean to do this. He knew that John wasn't trying to bow down or whatever. That wasn't the point. John was just overwhelmed with all this glory that was around. He couldn't handle the capacity in the current body and mind that he had. And notice here the angel again quickly rebukes him. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. Again, he fell down before him. The angels, don't do that again. The Old and New Testament, they don't have punctuation. The punctuation you see in your Bible was added in by the editors so that we could help understand and break up sentences and all that. It's written without any punctuation. But if there was punctuation, I think this would be exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, and some emojis. Don't do that. Do you know what happened to the last angel someone bowed down to? Get up. Lord, I wasn't in on this. You know, this is something John did on his own, right? Of course, I'm being silly with this. I'm sure that didn't happen because the angel understood and John understood as well. But he says, don't do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets. And again, of those who keep the words of this book. So notice the angels keep his word as well. Not just hearing it, but keeping it. He says, worship God. And he said to me, look at this, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, really, I should have waited till now to give you my explanation I did a moment ago. Because this is really the dramatic command from God. This is why I say it's not, God gave a direct command. Don't seal the book of Revelation. Teach it. Read it. Expose it. And how sad, again, so many churches and pastors seal it up and try to say somehow we can't understand it. They're ripping off the body of Christ from a blessing that God has given. Again, have we not been blessed, as I said before? Don't seal it up. Don't you dare seal it up. Might be a better way. You know, he's just saying don't seal it up, but I would say to any other pastor that would hear this or any other believer, don't even go there. It means reveal, show it, get into it, understand it, find out the imagery in the Old Testament, put it where it belongs, believe it, It is a blessing from God. Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. He's not saying that if you're unrighteous, you can't become righteous through the blood. He's not saying if you're unholy, you can't become holy through the blood. He's not saying if you're living a filthy life that you can't live a pure life, like the water of life in heaven. He's saying, whatever state you're in, when the Lord comes back, that's it. When that tachometer goes, whoo, when we find ourselves in the glory of the Lord, it is what it is. If you're living a life you shouldn't be living, too bad. If you're living a life you should be living, great. The bottom line is, that's it. And what he's saying is, take care of it now, right now. Don't wait until it's too late. If you're not living the way you need to be living, if you're not serving God the way you know you need to be serving God, get it right in your heart today. Do it right now, because once it happens, it is what it is. It's too late. Everything will stay and be taken just as it is at that moment. And he says, behold, I'm coming quickly again. That's that same word again. Doesn't mean time-wise. It means when it happens, it'll be fast. And he says, my reward is with me. There it is, the rewards banquet, if you will, in heaven, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I love it. He finishes the book of Revelation the way he started. He said, I'm the beginning, the first and the last. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he says, blessed are those, notice it was earlier, it was keep. Now he says, blessed are those who do his commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Notice this, don't just be hearers, be doers. If God is speaking to your heart, respond. Don't just hear it. Take action. It's not going to do you any good to hear it. And notice he says, if you do respond, you have a right to the tree of life. It tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says this, for those who believed and received, two things. You believe, and they say, then you take action and say, Lord, I'm receiving you today. I'm repenting. I'm giving my life to you. For those who believed and received, he gave the right to become the children of God. We don't even have the right to be a child of God unless we do that. And we don't have a right to the tree of life if we don't do that. Now, I know it's just something that we say that is to encourage each other and encourage people. I hear it all the time. I heard it again recently. You know, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We don't even have the right to be called children of God until we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's when his name is written on us. That's when we have the right to the tree of life. It comes through him. And he says, blessed are those who have the right to the tree of life. If they do this, if they do his commandments, and they may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Again, basically anyone that's wicked and evil is going to be locked out. Dogs just kind of covers all of it. Sorcerers deals with, again, a drug abuse and witchcraft, new age type things, sexual immorality, anything outside of biblical marriage. Murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Heaven's going to be pure. There's not going to be any lies or cheating or stealing or wickedness in heaven. It's going to be total purity in that place. And the Lord's going to make sure of it. No one's going to get in if they have any of that on them or with them. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I know, there it goes again. This is supposed to be being taught in the churches. He said, that's why I sent it. Not to avoid it. I've sent these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I love this. Notice what he calls himself, the root and the offspring. Why is that important? The root's where it all begins. Jesus is God. There's no beginning to him. There's no end to him. He's the root. He's everything. And yet, although he's always existed, he's the root. From him and through him came himself coming to the earth through David's line. He was the offspring of David, but he's the root of everything. And he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And now he goes into this whole series of invitations again, which are to all of us. These invitations he's about to give are to you. They're to me, so that we can go to the kingdom. If you don't know the Lord, you can enter the kingdom of God. Notice he says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Notice, not just the Holy Spirit saying, come. The reason you're here this morning is the Holy Spirit has drawn you here. No, I'm not so-and-so invited me. They may have invited you, but it was the Holy Spirit's prompting. He's drawing you here. Again, it gives a picture in Scripture of almost a tug of war. The way the Holy Spirit draws us, that word gives a picture of fighting, tug of war, one's pulling one way, one's pulling the other, and the Lord's winning, and there's tracks in the dirt as he's pulling us toward him. I can remember, you know, when I first started being drawn into the things of God, I started going to church, and I didn't even want to be there. I got upset with the pastor. I disagreed with him. You think you've got the answers. How do you think you have the truth? And I would go to church each week, and in my heart, kind of, what's going on here? Why was I doing that when I didn't like it? Maybe you're in that way this morning. You're here, and you're like, oh, I don't know what I think about all this. I don't know what I... You're here because the Lord drew you here by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's wanting you to make a choice for the kingdom of God. He wants you to be a child of God and have a right to enter heaven, but you've got to make a choice to receive him. But I'm so glad the Lord didn't give up when he's pulling us. Aren't you glad? Because if he gave up, you know, finally we give up and we just go flying into his arms. It's a beautiful thing, but he says the Spirit has come, but who else has come? The bride. That's us. We're also supposed to be giving the invitation. The Spirit draws, and we're supposed to be saying, why don't you give your life to the Lord? Why don't you give your life to Christ? It's our job as well. Both of us are saying, come on. And notice this, what he says, and let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. He says here again, as he does in other places in the Word of God, anyone is welcome. There's not some special group that can get in and some group that can't get in. Whoever desires can get in the kingdom of God. Are you thirsty this morning? Do you desire God this morning? Are you hearing him speak to your heart? Then you're welcome. You can come. There's a place for you at the table. And this is how the Spirit does it. This is how we do it as the bride. We give that invitation. And notice, drink freely. There's no charge. It's yours to take. And so he gives this beautiful invitation. And then he ends here with a strong warning. And this is kind of a great way to end the book of Revelation. Actually, he's going to end it with a little bit more upbeat and kind of a blessing after this. But this is a strong warning. This is so strong that the Lord makes his point very clear. You better not mess with Revelation. Listen to what he says. Verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Whoa. He says, if you start adding things by your, you know, viewpoint and this kind of thing, it's one thing to share a viewpoint. That's okay. It's one thing to speculate about things. But when you start saying, this is what it teaches, and you start getting away from the Word of God, he says, if you do that, then the plagues of Revelation will come upon you in your life. Wow. That's scary stuff. It even gets scarier when he says, if you do that, if you take anything away or add something back, you're going to lose your place in the book of life. How many people say Revelation shouldn't even be in there? Or maybe they take part of it and don't take other parts. God gives a very strong warning. He wants this to be read in the churches. He wants it to be taught in the churches. He wants it to be a blessing to the churches. And so much so, he puts a warning on this saying, you better not mess with it. I've given it to you. I've commanded you to cover it. And you better not take anything out. You better not add anything, or you're going to deal with me for eternity. I'm not going to mess with the book of Revelation. I dare not. But notice you not only lose your place in the book of life, he says you also can't go to the holy city and the things, and you'll be taken from the things that are written in the book. The glorious things we're seeing in the holy city, none of that will be ours or anything else written in the book as well. So a strong, fearful warning from the Lord. And then he ends again on an upbeat note. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Again, there's that word again, that tachometer word. He says, I'm coming. Don't worry, church. Don't grow weary. In the last days, people are going to say, where's his coming? They've been saying he's going to come back forever. Where? He said, I will. Don't worry. He said, and when I do, it's going to be fast. And whatever state you're in, that's the state you're going to be taking. Whatever reward you get based on that, that's the reward you're going to get. But be ready. Be watching. For you don't know what hour the Son of Man is coming. So he leaves with that warning again. And then, of course, John's response, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I mean, I say the same thing right now. Lord, we need you right now. Come on, Lord, we're ready to do this thing. And then really he speaks almost kind of a blessing over us and over the body of Christ as he ends here. So I'm going to speak this as a blessing over you. As we end the Bible and we end, again, the book of Revelation, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we finished the book of Revelation. What a great book. Now, I want to share something with you that I find intriguing. And I'm not adding to or taking away. It really has nothing to do with Revelation. I wouldn't dare do that, even as I said. But it's interesting with this whole Adam being the first Adam and Jesus the last Adam, the Bible says, and Adam's bride being taken from his side and Jesus' bride being taken from his side. When you look at the picture of what happened, it really, I think, becomes quite amazing. And the possibilities are really extremely beautiful. You know, the Bible says that God put Adam into a deep sleep and he took the woman from his side. Now, we automatically say a rib. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that it was a rib at all. The reason we say that is when you reach to your side, what do you feel? A rib. But you tend to think, wow, a rib. Okay, so God took a piece of bone and made the wife, you know, whatever. And wives are designed to be tender and soft. And I wonder, was it really the rib? I don't know. I think maybe there's something else going on. Only God knows. But when I look at what happened to the Lord, you know, it's interesting. As I was reading this and studying this, I looked up, this thing about the Lord's love and the Lord's heart for us. I looked up hearts. And all of you right now in your mind probably know what a heart looks like. You look up at a heart, it comes down and kind of just curves over to one side, from right to left. It's almost like there's a piece that's missing. And when I thought about the Lord on the cross and the fact that God took the original bride out of the side of Adam and they plunged the spear into the Lord, into his heart, I just wonder if maybe the heart used to be whole. And when God took something out of Adam, then maybe he took a small piece of Adam's heart. And that's why the right side's missing. And from his right side formed a woman, something from the nearest place to Adam, the most tender, the most soft, a place that not only would feel his heartbeat, but literally be his heartbeat. And it makes me wonder if maybe when that spear went into Jesus, his heart would have been whole if this is the case. The Bible doesn't say this is what it was. I want to make that clear. But if it is, I wonder if maybe the lower part of the Lord's heart was pierced by that spear and flowed out with the blood and water, and the bride of Christ was born. Literally a part of the Lord's heart. And now forever we see the river of life flowing from his right side in the New Jerusalem and the kingdom of God. One day for his bride, maybe a lower section of his heart to be called back to heaven and become one again with him. If you don't know the Lord, he gives you the invitation this morning. There will be a tree of life in the kingdom of God. But the tree of life this morning is the cross. And you have to believe that Jesus died for you on that cross, and by his blood you have life. And the river that flowed from his side is just a picture of the river that flows in heaven, of the life that we have, and the birth he gave to his bride, the last Adam with his new bride, us.
Thanks for coming to the table for God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Revelation. This final book of the Bible is not a book you want to jump into without having context from the rest of the Bible. If you did, you might think you were transplanted into some sci-fi apocalyptic nightmare of a story. But Revelation is so much more than the strange imagery and prophecies. Revelation points you to the fact that Jesus is supreme ruler over all and that he truly will bring peace to the world. Now that's something to look forward to. We hope, as you've listened today, that you've been encouraged to know what's to come if you're a follower of Christ. If having a relationship with Jesus is a new thing for you, we'd like to help you with that. We'd be so happy to meet you and talk to you about this in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we invite you to come visit us at Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our morning services are at 8, 9:30, and 11:15. We also have a Sunday night Bible study at 6 and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7. If you're not in the area, go ahead and check out thewaymedia.net and scroll down to the Calvary Knoxville link. Then scroll down to the Knowing Jesus link. If you're needing to hear this message again to grasp what was said, click on the Come to the Table link at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. That's all the time we have for right now, but Pastor Mark has more to share as we look to the big picture of Revelation the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.